preaching around at several churches and preached, he said, a couple of times in the last couple of weeks, Brother Langston up in Ottawa, and been preaching different places. He got to go to the absolute holy land, Tuscaloosa, Alabama. Somebody say amen right there. Now, he got to preach there, and I tell you, that's got to be a thrill within itself. You know, go down there and look at a Bear Bryant statue, and you know, don't even look at him sometimes because he got on a watch. He's got a big old funny looking A on, you know, all that kind of stuff. Red. And he's not dressed in today, though. I'm surprised.
I behave today.
He's behaving. Y'all pray for him this morning. We appreciate him and his family. Most of you know his dad and mom, and Brother Ricky and Sister Renee. They are missionaries of the Rock of Ages, and we appreciate their work. I know one time I was talking to his dad, and I said something about, you know, appreciate Brother Josh coming and preaching for us and being here and doing whatever. He looked at me, Brother Ricky said, and his dad would like to come sometimes too.
And he did.
So you tell him he missed again.
Right. Well, I'm certainly thankful for the opportunity. I'm going to cut this on just may get me a little bit more light up here. But I'm thankful for the opportunity to stand and preach the word again. And if you have your Bibles this morning, Hebrews in chapter number 11. Hebrews in chapter number 11, a very familiar text. There's a lot of names and a lot of instances that goes on in Hebrews 11, but I want to focus in on two verses. Well, three verses. I'm going to read the first verse, then we're going to focus in on our character for the day this morning. And I want to look at Joshua this morning and the faith in Joshua's life and preach on the conquest of Joshua and the faith that it took. Hebrews chapter number 11, I'll let you remain seated. Verse number 1, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Drop down to verse number 30. By faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. Verse number 31, by faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not when she had received the spies with peace. Let us pray. Lord, now we pray that you take your word, use it for your honor and your glory. Lord, to encourage somebody here. Lord, if somebody's here not saved, that they'd see Jesus Christ through the life of Joshua, because as we study our Bibles, we know that Joshua is a picture of Jesus Christ. Lord, and we're thankful for that this morning, Lord, and we pray that you'd help us to increase our faith. Lord, in Jesus' name, amen. And I want to look at this instance of faith out of the life of Joshua. I've got three simple things. We're going to look at the life of Joshua, but then think about it in your own life. The faith that it takes. The conquest of Joshua. Let's flip over to Joshua chapter number 1 and read just a few verses. Joshua in chapter number 1. We're going to be several places, so if you got a pen and you want to write them down, you can go back and look at them later. But Joshua in chapter number 1. Of course, Moses has passed. Back Deuteronomy 34, we'll get there before the message is over. But Joshua chapter number 1, verse number 1. Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant is now dead, therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give them, even to the children of Israel. Every place the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that I have given unto you, as I said unto Moses, from the wilderness in this Lebanon, even to the great river, the river Euphrates, and all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your coast. There shall not be any man able to stand against thee all the days of thy life. Now I can just think, I want to make this comment, Deuteronomy 34 and right here in Joshua chapter number 1, Joshua's been given a task to lead these people. It's a great number. In himself, I would like to think, if I put myself in his shoes, there's no way I could do this. Because Moses was a great man, used of God. Moses was a mighty man, used of God. Moses did signs and wonders before Pharaoh to show the Pharaoh that, hey, God is God, you can't whoop him. Joshua had a task and a half. And within himself, he's probably like, Lord, there's no way I can do this. I know there's, Lord, no way I could, that I would want to do that, do something like that. But there's a great encouragement in the end of verse number 5. He says, as I was with Moses, so shall I be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people thou shalt divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers. Drop down to verse number 9. Have I not commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Joshua had a big God. That's the same God we have today. God doesn't change. Malachi 3:6, I am the Lord, I change not. Hebrews chapter number 13, verse number 8. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's the same as he was back then. He's the same in 2024. Ages may change, people may change, but the Lord and the word of the Lord does not change. I want to look at faith in three aspects of Joshua's life. Faith to serve. Go to Exodus 24. Exodus 24, faith to serve. You notice back in Joshua chapter number 1, it refers to him as Moses' minister. Well, Exodus 24, we find where he's actually referred to as Moses' minister for the first time. And it's an interesting way he's referred. Verse number 13, of course, this is right in the middle of the instruction for the construction of the tabernacle, the Ten Commandments, everything going on the mountain. They're before Sinai and everything's going on. Look at verse number 13. And Moses rose up and his minister Joshua, and Moses went up into the mount of God. So Joshua apparently went some distance with Moses. He got to see some things nobody else got to see. He probably got to hear some things nobody else got to hear, and got to experience some things nobody else got to experience. You say, how do you know? Well, you jump over to Exodus chapter number 33. Of course, Exodus 32, great sin of the people, the golden calf, everybody's dancing, partying. And Joshua says, hey, I hear the noise of war in the camp. Moses said, it's not the noise of war, it's the noise of music. Look at verse number 33 of chapter number 33, verse number 11. And the Lord spake unto Moses face to face, as a man speaketh unto his friend, and he turned again into the camp. But his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, departed not out of the tabernacle. Joshua saw something in his pastor, his preacher, if you want to say it that way. And you can, and it wouldn't be, you know, disclaiming anything. You could say that because Moses was the man of God. He saw something in that spiritual leadership in his life. He said, I want something, what he's got. I want to follow in his footsteps. He didn't know he was going to be the man chosen to ultimately take over. I don't know that he did. But in Numbers 27, you look and see where he was the man chosen to take over. He was publicly commissioned before the people. You can write that down, Numbers 27, verse 15 through 23, to where Moses physically laid his hands on Joshua, prayed over him, commissioned him before the high priest Eleazar and the people, and said, this is the one going to take over. Now, he didn't say that in essence, but by actions. You go back to Deuteronomy 34. Let's go ahead and go over there. Deuteronomy 34. And it records about the death of Moses. I put a marker in there, amen. There we go. Deuteronomy 34, verse number 5. So Moses, the servant of the Lord, died in the land of Moab, according to the word of the Lord. And he buried him in the valley of in the land of Moab over against Beth-Por, but no man knoweth of his sepulcher unto this day. And Moses was 120 years old when he died. His eye was not dim, nor his natural force abated. And the children of Israel wept for Moses in the plains of Moab 30 days. So the days of weeping and mourning for Moses were ended. And Joshua, the son of Nun, full of the spirit of wisdom, for Moses had laid his hands upon him, and the children of Israel hearkened unto him as the Lord commanded Moses. And there arose not a prophet like in Israel, like unto Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face, in all the signs and wonders which the Lord sent him to do in the land of Egypt to Pharaoh, and to all his servants, and to all his land. And in all the mighty hand, and in all the great terror which Moses showed in the sight of all Israel. Faith to serve. You know, it takes faith to kind of sit there and do what you know to do, and what you're supposed to do, but you really don't know what you're supposed to do. Joshua kind of knew, hey, I'm supposed to stick with Moses. I'm supposed to serve him. But I don't know when he had the idea that, hey, you're going to be the one that's going to take over. I don't know if they had a private conference before Numbers 27, and he said, Joshua, now this is what the Lord said. Or I don't know if it was just something that was up and publicly done. And Joshua kind of had the thought that I said, hey, Lord, there's no way I could do this on my own. But we have in Joshua chapter number 1, I'll go back to the verse. He said, as I was with Moses, even so shall I be with thee. And that's a comfort to know that the Lord's with us. It takes faith to serve, especially in 2024. I may get a little bit more on that tonight. I may have to go back and look and make sure I ain't preached one message here. And if I have, I'll have to figure something else out, and the Lord will have to help us. But in 2024, it really takes faith to serve. Because you got the world, the flesh, and the devil. You got everything going on. And you've got to combat these things. And that just brings us right into our next thing. Not only does it take faith to serve, but it takes faith to soldier. Exodus 17. Exodus chapter number 17. Faith to soldier. Exodus chapter number 17. We have just come through the Red Sea. They're singing. They're praising the Lord for what He's done. They've also probably murmured a little bit. But then look at what's happened. As soon as they come out of Egypt and they're headed in toward the promised land, they're headed in the general direction right now. Verse number 8. And Amalek fought with Israel. And then came Amalek and fought with Israel in Rephidim. And Moses said unto Joshua, choose out men, go out and fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in my hand. Now you don't find where he said, hey Joshua, will you go? Hey Joshua, will you think about going? No, he said, Joshua, go pick out men and go fight. I don't know what Joshua did while he was in Egypt. I don't know if he was did bricks like most of them did. I don't know if he did something else specific. But he said, hey Joshua, go pick out men and go fight. You don't see where Joshua said, but Moses said, we ain't trained. We have no military experience. I don't know what kind of weapons they had because they just come out of Pharaoh. They just come out of Egypt. So we don't know really what kind of weapons they had. Now we do find out, you keep reading the story of the children of Israel and all their different things. They had weapons, they had battles, they fought, they won. But right here at this present time, you really don't know. But he says, hey, go pick out men and fight. You don't find where Joshua said a but. Said, but we can't. There's no way. Look at verse number 10. He said, so Joshua did as Moses had said to him and fought with Amalek and Moses and Aaron and Hur. Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. You keep on reading. We all know the story of the account. As long as Moses' hands were up, the children of Israel, you know, won. And if they dropped, they failed. But then Aaron and Hur set the rock under him, held up the man of God's hands. We know that. But it took faith to soldier. What did Paul tell Timothy? Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. In the book of Ephesians, he says, be strong in the Lord, in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, against rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Before he goes to list on the pieces of the armor, he says, stand therefore, having done all to stand, stand. Keep standing. Yes, things may get tough. Yes, things may get ugly. Yes, things may get hard. But guess what? It's worth it. Keep standing. You go into that armor, and I've done this, and I've been looking at this a little bit more recently, and I've preached on it, taught on it, the armor of God, and something, and it keeps using the word stand, and it uses the word stand, withstand, four or five different times right there, and I'm opening several, three, four verses, and I got to studying on each piece of the armor, and the scripture says your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Well, I got to looking at what would cause a soldier, you know, how would he have traction? And those sandals for battle often had some kind of nail stuck through them like we would for football players or soccer players that have a cleat. Same thing. Something to give them traction, something so they could grip the soft ground if it was muddy, if it had rained, so they wouldn't have to be pushed back or back up and they could keep marching forward. They could dig in like an offensive lineman. I'll use the football illustration because that's something I can grasp my head around. When an offense and defensive lineman at the snap of that ball, and they clash, and they put their feet in the ground, and they push. Whoever gets the most push going to win. Whoever gets the most push, that running back or that quarterback is going to be able to make the play he could make, or that defensive lineman is going to be able to cause chaos in the backfield and make the play he needs to make. Just the same way in the Christian warfare. When you have the proper equipment on, you can do the proper things. Now, everything in that armor is defensive, except one thing, the sword. The sword is for the advancement. The sword is to go on and move forward and to take territory. You go and you read in the children of Israel's life, God had done given them the promised land. He told Abraham, hey, I'm going to give your kids this land, and it's going to be a land like flowing with milk and honey. It's going to be a large land. It's going to be something good for them. We know it could have taken, I believe it may have been 11 days, one place in Numbers says, but it took them 40 years. Why? Because of disobedience. Because 10 spies said, no, we can't take it. Joshua and Caleb said, yes, we can, because the Lord gave it us. You can go look at Numbers 14 and see why, see what happened. See, Joshua and Caleb was the only two to survive because they had faith to soldier. Faith to soldier. Go over to Joshua in chapter number 5. This isn't the only place you see faith in Joshua's life in a military instance. Joshua in chapter number 5. They've just crossed the Jordan River. There's a pile of stones over there at chapter number 4 that, hey, they can tell their kids that means something. Joshua in chapter number 5, they're up against Jericho. They're outside the camp. They're outside of Jericho. Verse number 13, and it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him with a sword, with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went unto him and said, art thou for us or for our adversaries? And he said, nay, but as captain of the Lord's host, I am now come. And then I find it interesting, without hesitation, it says, and Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship and said unto him, what saith my Lord unto his servant? And then, of course, we go into chapter number 6. He tells him what's going to happen and how they're going to take Jericho. Now, if I'm in Joshua's position, again, I like to put myself in these Bible characters' position, not to try to change the Bible, but to just think, would I react the way Scripture goes or would I react different? And if somebody's telling me, hey, you're going to do this and all you're going to do is march. You're not going to lift a sword. You're not going to lift this. You're not going to lift that. You're going to march 7 days. Really? That's it? We're going to march 7 days? Are you kidding me? We just fought, you know, way on back. We fought Amalekites. We fought different ones up to this point. But we're not going to fight? He said, you've given us the land. How can we? You know, I'm just thinking. I'm not speaking out of terms, but I'm just wondering. In human minds, what was Joshua thinking? I mean, really. You know you're going to have to fight to take the land, but he said, no, you're not going to fight. You're going to march. That takes some faith. It really does.
Yes, sir, brother.
Verse number 6, chapter number 6. I wonder what the people thought. It doesn't really say, but I just wonder what the people thought. Chapter number 6, when Joshua comes before the people, and Joshua the son of Nun called the priest and said unto them, take up the ark of the covenant, and let the 7 priests bear 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the ark of the Lord. And he said unto the people, pass on and compass the city, and let him that is armed pass on before the ark of the Lord. And it came to pass that when Joshua had spoken unto the people, that the 7 priests bearing the 7 trumpets of ram's horns passed on before the Lord and blew the trumpets, and the ark of the covenant of the Lord followed them. And the armed men went before them, before the priests that blew the trumpets, and the rearward came after the ark, and the priests going on and blowing with the trumpets. And Joshua commanded the people, saying, ye shall not shout, nor make any noise with your voice, neither shall any word proceed out of your mouth until the day I bid you shout. Then ye shall shout. So the ark of the Lord compassed the city about it once, and they came back into the camp and lodged in the camp. And Joshua rose early in the morning, and the priest took up the ark of the Lord, and 7 priests bearing the 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the Lord went on continually and blew with the trumpets, and the armed men went before them, but the rearward came after the ark of the Lord, the priest going on and blowing with the trumpets. And the second day they compassed the city once and returned into the camp. So they did 6 days. Now somewhere halfway in between, in that halfway point of 6 days, you know, about day 3, 3 and a half, going into day 4, if I'm in this band, if I'm just one of them that's marching, have my spear or sword in hand, shield, I'm going to get frustrated because I'm wanting to fight. Now me personally, I'm not a fighter, but I'd like to think if I had to do something, I'm going to do something. Yeah. So, I mean, I'm not saying don't cross me, but I'm just saying, if I had to do something, only if I had to, I'd be like, Lord, give me the go sign and, you know, you just gone. But I'd be getting frustrated, really, because we've walked around 6 days, once a day for 6 days. Nothing has been said. Nothing else has been done. All we've heard is the trumpets. You can only think what the people in Jericho are thinking. I'm sure the king and the soldiers are being like, hey, look at them. They're soldiers, but they're not warring. Hey, look at them. They've just got those stupid trumpets, and they're just blowing them, and they're making a bunch of racket with the trumpets, but they're not doing anything else. What are they going to do? How do they expect to take us? We're inside a great walled city. It's hard not to jump ahead. Amen. It really is. You say, what are you doing? I'm trying to catch breath. It don't seem like I'm out of breath, but I am. Because I'm fixing to get pretty excited if I don't watch it. You say, why? He said, wait till tomorrow. And I'll tell you this. I'll put it another I guess, carnal illustration out there, and it's going to be something that I can wrap my head around, is how many of you watched Facing the Giants, the football movie Facing the Giants? Love the movie. Every time in the end of the movie, I don't care how many times I've watched the movie, when that wind changes directions and he's yelling, hey, Stonewall, Stonewall, and that wind changes directions and he says, kick it, I'm still screaming at the TV in the movie just the same as I did the first day I watched it, because something changed. Something changed and a victory was wrought. And that's a movie. But something changed on day 7 and a victory was wrought. Let's read on. Verse number 16, and it came to pass that at the seventh, verse number 15, excuse me, and it came to pass on the seventh day that they rose early about the dawning of the day and compassed the city after the same manner. Now, I wonder what these people thought. They get up, they do it, they pass it again, they pass it one time. Okay, let's go back to camp. I could see some of them kind of start to split off, and they're like, hey, they're going around it. They go around it a second time, third time, fourth time, fifth time, sixth time. They start to wonder, hey, something's different here. Seven times, verse number 16. And it came to pass that on the seventh time when the police blew the trumpets, Joshua said unto the people, shout, for the Lord hath given you the city, and the city shall be accursed, even it and all that are therein. To the Lord only Rahab the harlot shall live, she and the, all that are with her in the house, because she hid the messengers that we sent. Drop down to verse number 20. So the people shouted when the priest blew the trumpets, and it came to pass when the people heard the sound of the trumpet that all the people shouted with a great shout, and the wall fell down flat. Flat. It didn't just fall down, because I've done a little bit of demolition work, and I've knocked out a few sheetrock walls with a sledgehammer. That's pretty fun. Just the cleanup afterwards is not so fun, but it's fun taking the sledgehammer and knocking out sheetrock. I've done it. But it says the walls fell flat. It didn't crumble. Something tells me, in accordance to where how we read the story when it happened, and in Hebrews in chapter number 11, that you just have to believe some kind of supernatural, all-powerful force of some kind. We know who it is. The hand of Almighty God somehow, at that moment when they shouted, took that wall, and I just think pressed it down. Now, Rahab lived. How? That's another aspect of faith that I just personally happen to believe in. I'd like how Brother Ronnie kind of stepped to the side in Sunday school, and I'm just going to throw this out as food for thought. A little bit of Burnettology, if you will. The almighty hand of God, the same one that took the wall and pressed it flat, maybe just cupped under Rahab's house and just brought it down and set it right on top of the rest of that flat wall. You say, how? Because she lived and everybody that was in the house. Look at verse number 23. And the young men that were spies went in and brought out Rahab and her father and her mother and her brethren and all that she had. And they brought out all her kindred and left them without the camp of Israel. And they burnt the city with fire and all that was therein, only the silver and the gold and the vessels of brass and of iron they put into the treasury of the Lord. And Joshua saved Rahab the harlot alive and her father's household, and they that she had, and she dwelleth in Israel until this, even unto this day, because she hid the messengers which Joshua sent to spy out Jericho. So it takes faith to serve, faith to soldier, and faith to shout. When the Lord does something for you, and amongst a dark situation, and amongst a situation that you can't see no way around, no way through, no way up, no way down, no way left, no way right, when you can't explain, hey, how the cancer's gone, hey, how this happened, how that happened, that it's the Lord, and it takes faith. And the doctor, there's some doctors that believe in God, I've heard of it, but then when they don't believe in God, and they say, how, you get to tell them that it was God. And I like the way, I just like this. This is just something sad. Joshua saved Rahab. Look up the Hebrew spelling for the word Joshua sometime. It's Jehoshua. Does that sound similar to something? I mean, Brother Steve probably knows where I'm going. Where does Rahab end up? I got a note in my Bible. Let me read this just for a second. I'm almost done. She became the mother of David. She became the mother of David's great-grandfather Boaz. And she's named in Matthew in chapter number 1. Amen. Joshua is an Old Testament form of Jesus. He's a picture of a leader, of a conqueror, of a general. You say, how do you know? Because we have a fight in life. We deal with the world, the flesh, and the devil. there's different instances in Israel's life where you can picture the world, the flesh, and the devil through Jericho, the Gibeonites, Ai, everything like that. There's all kinds of pictures that I don't have time to deal with this morning, but I'd love to. We have fights we have to go through in life. That's a proof of that Canaan is not heaven. Canaan is a picture of the victorious Christian life, but heaven one day will be full of no heartache, no fights, no warring. We'll get to lay it down and rest. But until then, faith to serve, faith to soldier, faith to shout. Stand, heads bowed, eyes closed. You look at Joshua, and I'm not going to take the time to go there, but I could tell you, and you can look at it. Joshua 24, and it's recorded again in Judges in chapter number 2. He started out as Moses' minister. Really, he just started out as Joshua, Exodus 17, but he was called Moses' minister 2 to 3 times in the scripture. But he died being called Joshua, the servant of the Lord. The same title that Moses had. No, he didn't demand it. No, he didn't, you know, try to force that title. That was a title that was given to him by scripture through the inspiration of Almighty God. That he did what I'd bid him to do. He conquered what I wanted him to conquer. You can go read it, Joshua chapter number 10. It names off all the kings. And it says, and one, and one, and one. And it says, and 31 in all. Jesus does the same thing for us. When you have things that you can't get over, can't get through, Jesus will help you. Jesus will conquer. He's the one that fights for us. He's the one who teaches our hands to war and our fingers to fight, the Psalms talks about. He's the Lord mighty in battle, Psalm 24. And as the old black preacher said, and I like this, Exodus 15, the Lord is a man of war, the Lord is his name, and the old black preacher said, and you can't whoop him neither. What are you facing this morning? Heads bowed, eyes closed as they begin to play and sing. Do you need to come pray? Do you need more faith? I know I do sometimes. Let's pray. As Brother Ronnie begins to sing,